ladies and gentlemen, you can put down that cup of coffee because our guest today will fire you up more than any amount of caffeine. We chat with Danny Miranda about podcasting, his interview with Gary Vaynerchuk, and how Danny became the 2.0 version of himself and how you can do that as well. Yeah, that might sound a bit strange, but I promise you, finish today's episode and you'll be ready to crush whatever's ahead.
You're listening to the Next Generation Podcast.
Weekly interviews with the most interesting and successful 20-somethings out there.
All right, on today's show, we have Danny Miranda. Danny, what's going on, man?
Connor, Giovanni, it's great to be here. I'm grateful for the chance to be on the show. I'm a fan. I've listened to Zach's episode, the episode with Zach Tyler. Big fan and excited to be here.
And for anyone listening right now, Danny has done over 156, potentially more because we don't know how deep that backlog is of podcast episodes. But how does it feel? I know this is probably not the first other podcast you've been on, but how does it feel being on the other side of the mic? Is it kind of like being a passenger in a car?
I like both aspects of it. And you know what's interesting is like you host podcasts and you think that you can be a guest on podcasts. And it's different. It's a way different experience. And to be a good guest, you need to put in the reps. The same way to be a good host, you need to put in the reps. But two different skill sets, which was interesting for me to learn myself.
Also, you did a lot of those podcasts in a really short amount of time, right? What did that look like? Was that time frame?
So I put out 3 a week for now a full year. And it was basically just me saying to myself, okay, who are the best in the world at this? What are they doing? How many a week are they doing? Can I replicate it? And it was also part of it was I recorded 20 before I released one because I enjoyed recording them so much. So it was the combination of both that was just like, okay, let's just go. Let's start the treadmill at a really high pace and just keep on going.
That's cool. All right, let's take it back for a second now because for anyone not listening right now that doesn't know you or your background, can you kind of give us a background on who you are as a person? And then I want to get into specifically back in September 16th of 2020 when you dropped your first podcast episode, why even starting a podcast? So maybe kick things off for who you are for anyone who doesn't know.
Yeah, so I'm just a 26-year-old kid now who loves life, who has been interested in psychology and becoming the highest version of myself for a long time. There have been periods in my life when I've been strictly party mode. There have been periods in my life when I've been strictly work mode. And I'm at this current stage right now, which is just like, I love what I do. I'm so grateful to do it. And I'm just building on it every day. And that's a really exciting mission for me to talk to interesting people like you guys. And I'm just grateful to do it. So that's a little bit about me. I'm happy to go into whatever you want.
Do you know what that looks like right now? Do you have a specific goal of what that perfect version of yourself looks like? Or is that just, you know, constant improvement, learn from the people you surround yourself with?
Yeah, so I would say my overarching goal is to raise the consciousness of humanity. And that inspires everything I do. And I look at it like I need to get myself in check first. I need to make sure that I'm operating with a high level of consciousness myself. And then that can ripple out to the rest of the world. And it's also something that is building day by day. And I'm more conscious today than I was 3 years ago. And that's an exciting thing for me to grow into that mission.
What does that mean to be conscious of yourself? Is that like a synonym with being self-aware? Because I think there's probably a handful of people out there who, not even a handful, I bet you most people out there who are listening to this right now or not listening to this are just kind of going through life on a everyday basis and not really thinking through why they're doing what they're doing, right? It's like, hey, my friends like these kind of clothes, so I wear these kind of clothes. My friends like these restaurants, so I go there. My friends have a job, so I do that. Is to be more conscious, is that to like be more deliberate about what kind of actions you're taking, or what does that mean to you?
I'm really happy you forced me to expand on it a bit. For me, it means operating with more love and kindness to not only myself, but the people around me. And that does also mean being introspective and figuring out who am I really? What do I really care about? For 24 years of my life, I never once stopped and reflected on who I was or what I was doing or why I was doing the things I was doing. I was just operating with the script. And some of those things served me that I was doing for the first 24 years, but a lot of the things I was a mess. And once I started shining the light inward and becoming more conscious of myself, I then start acting with more love and kindness to the world around me. So Yeah.
What does that tangibly look like? So are you journaling, or was that the whole concept of the podcast to allow you to reflect? Are you meditating? What does that actual process of reflection look like for you?
Great question. So for me, it's meditation, minimum 20 minutes in the morning of just getting in touch with myself. Who am I? What is going on? How am I feeling? Are my thoughts going crazy, or am I able to get in touch with myself? Then it's taking walks with no inputs. Then it's talking to people, having conversations like this, because you might reflect back to me things that I might not know about myself. That's like the job of a good interviewer from my perspective. So yeah, it's a bunch of introspection and figuring out, and introspection happens by journaling. It happened, but practically what I do every morning, no questions asked, is meditation in some respect. And once I've done that, then I've set the scene for the rest of the day where I can then go forward and operate with a little more kindness and love to myself and then the world around me.
Do you think it's tangibly made you a happier person, or do you like, have you noticed a difference either how much you enjoy life or how you feel?
Yeah, it's made me a way better person. In fact, my parents, they started calling me Danny 2.0 because they were like, who is this new person? And the crazy thing about this is, I kid you not, 6 months prior, I wrote down in a folder and said, I would like to be Danny 2.0. These are the traits that I would like to be. These are the things I would like to do. And my parents didn't know about the folder, and they were calling me Danny 2.0. So it's just the most wild thing. And my behavior is so different today than it was 3 years ago because I've gone inward, because I've evaluated myself, because I've meditated. I mean, you ask my grandma, you ask anybody close to me, they know that I'm a completely different person because of the meditation and the inquiry that I've done on myself.
That's incredible. Yeah, I think it's the kind of that thing where like you see a friend who you haven't seen for a while and you can tell they've been in the gym for the past 6 months and you're like, damn, you look good, right? I gotta imagine it's a whole different experience when that change is inside, internal, right? Like I know there's one person I'm thinking of specifically right now from college who like freshman year I knew the guy and I was like, not the biggest fan. And then like 3 years into college, I was like, wait a minute, like you actually are pretty chill. Like I enjoy spending time with you now. That must be a really cool feeling for you.
Yeah, what did he do in those 3 years?
From what I talked to him, it was I don't know if there was additional things there, but he told me about like the 50 books that he read all about like spirituality, philosophy and like all that kind of stuff. And he's just like a very laid back guy now, easy to get along with and like very, very likable.
Yeah, because sometimes when you have a lot of problems internally, it gets reflected externally and it makes you into an asshole and makes you into a person people don't like. And that was the case for me in college. I was someone that I didn't know myself. And so what I was reflecting externally to a lot of people was this character of like not a nice person. And the truth is I didn't know myself. I didn't know who I was. So of course people are going to think that about myself because I didn't even know myself. So yeah, and I can relate to that kid.
Yeah, understandable. And before getting into the playbook, because it sounds like, you know, to become the 2.0 version of yourself, you were like, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, right? And I want to unlock and kind of dive into what specifically those tasks were. It sounds like meditation, which was the big one, which something I've kind of always struggled to form a habit of, but I enjoy it every time I do it. So something to be said there. But before even getting to that, I think on Twitter, and if we don't want to talk about this too much, we can skip over it, but you did mention before, like I think a year or two ago, like you felt depressed, you felt anxious. Like, was there something that was causing that, looking back on it, that you're realizing like, hey, here were a few mistakes that I was making that if I was 22 or 21, I would go back and try to get ahead of?
Yeah. So for me, the depression happened when, after I completed this program called 75 Hard, which for those listening or you guys,
it's Andy, not familiar, Andy Frisella.
Yeah. Andy Frisella. And it's 5 tasks for 75 days straight. No excuses, which is just take a progress picture, complete 2 workouts. One of them has to be outside. Drink a gallon of water, read 10 pages of a book, and follow a diet of your choosing, and do that for 75 days straight. And so I did this program. I completed it. I was changed as a person, But then I went back to my old habits, which made me depressed because I had increased my self-image to someone who could do what they said they were going to do. And then I wasn't doing what I said I was going to do. And it made me really upset. And it forced me into this funk. So that's where the depression came in. And how I got out of that was COVID happened. I got lucky from that respect. Obviously not a great thing to happen in the world, but very lucky personally because it snapped me out of it. I said, oh my God, this stuff is real. Like, life is going to change dramatically. I can use this time to get better or get worse. And so I made that conscious decision and I got better. But yeah, that's how I got out of the depression.
What were those actual steps, right? I'm assuming you realized, shit, I got to change something here. What's that, you know, half a increment of progress that you sat down? What was that first thing you did once you decided to start making progress?
Yeah, so I actually have a note card. This is so fascinating that you asked this question. One sec.
And for anyone listening right now that's looking up the 75-day challenge, it's the real deal because I tried to do it and just completely broke on day 32. Like, I think day 32 is the day where I was just like, hey, listen, I don't think I can shower 2 times a day for the next 43 days.
You got to redo it. Because if you could do it for 32 days, you could do it for 75. And I'm going to hold you to that. But
I'll give it another shot.
This is so crazy that you asked me this because I found yesterday when I was home this note card of my AM routine that I was doing to snap myself out of it in March or April of 2020. This is the AM routine. Repeat this in the morning. Today is going to be wonderfully successful for me. I feel absolutely amazing and filled with an abundance of energy. So first thing, say that in the morning. Second thing, I did Wim Hof breathing, which was like inhale, exhale. You could look it up on YouTube, Wim Hof breathing. It's probably 5-10 minutes. Next thing is meditate 15 to 30 minutes. And then the following thing was visualize my directive affirmation and say it out loud at least 10 times. So these were all things, to be completely transparent. If you had told me I was doing these 3 years ago, I'd be like, that's woo woo. That's crazy. Why would somebody do something like that? But you know, from meditating and from changing, I was just like, let's just try this. Let's give it a try. And doing that morning routine for, I don't know what it was, 30 days or 60 days straight. That was transformative because I'd already set some of those habits up and it was tremendously helpful.
I think it's pretty interesting to realize that like a lot of people do similar things, but I think to your point, I think for a while, maybe some people didn't run and be, you know, maybe public about it. If it, you know, sounds weird or if they're embarrassed about it. But now I think there's a lot of people. I remember there's a My First Million episode where they really kind of dove into it. He's like, oh no, you know, these are certain things that I say and they actually help. So I do think it's, you know, helpful when you hear other people doing it because, you know, I think it can convince other people to kind of start that. In terms of the actual habits, did you follow like Atomic Habits or any sort of books in that realm that, you know, gave you any direction on how to stick with some of these routines in your life?
Yeah, so I read this book With Winning in Mind by Lanny Bassham. And that was a really great book because he's an Olympic rifle shooter, I believe. And he won a gold medal and then taught his son how to win a gold medal. And he's using all these really woo-woo tactics, if you would call them that. And he actually did it at the highest level, so you know it actually works. And so that made me trust it. And one thing that he said that really stuck with me was when he was shooting rifles, right? He would have a shot, but before the shot and after the shot, he would visualize the shot being perfect. And so for every shot that he took, he would have at least 2/3 of those being perfect shots in his head. And that was something that stuck with me. And another is the directive affirmation, which I mentioned before, which is like a simple, probably 4-sentence way of writing out who you are, who you want to be, and posting that. I posted it on my bathroom wall and my mirror. So yeah, I think it's really important to realize that you're speaking to yourself regardless. So why wouldn't you speak to yourself in the way that's going to help you achieve what you want to achieve the most? It's kind of an obvious thing, but we take it for granted sometimes, or at least I personally did in the past.
Very well said. That whether you think speaking to yourself is strange or not, the fact is everyone does it. Some people are just more intentional about it. I think that's such a good point. I have kind of a double-headed question here. So on Twitter, in your bio, the first word, optimist, period, right? Like defining yourself as an optimist. And so back-to-back question here is, like, one, what does that mean to you? Like does that mean – actually, let me just leave it there. What does that mean to you, calling yourself an optimist?
It just means looking at the bright side of things and being able to look at a challenge and say, okay, I see a challenge, I see a problem, and let's take the best step to solve it, instead of what I had maybe done to myself in the past or what I'd heard in the past, which was like, see a problem and say, I can't really accomplish that. That's too far beyond me. And so for me, being an optimist says, okay, you have a big challenge ahead. You have big visions and crazy aspirations. Let's get them done. And let's just take one step and put it in front of the other day after day after day.
Yeah, I love that way of thinking, because that's where I was hoping you to go with that, because I think a lot of people might confuse the term optimist with always happy. And I don't think that's the case, because I think it's kind of an unrealistic expectation for someone to be always happy. Like, the fact of the matter is you're going to be pissed off at some things. But I think kind of redefining it as a challenge or an opportunity to improve is a really good mindset to have.
Yeah, I just try to take a glass half full mindset approach. Yeah. And it's one thing to, and the reason why it's in my bio is because it's always on top of my mind now, like always on top. It's the first thing I see. Oh, if you identify as an optimist, you're going to then take an optimistic approach when shit hits the fan. So
that is then you actually kind of almost just touched on my next question there, is identifying as someone, right? Putting labels on yourself and seeing what the result of that is in the world. Because I think, like, here's an example that I like to think of, is professional athletes very often will struggle after their athletic career is finished because they have no idea who they are as a person anymore, right? You'll take an offensive lineman who played at University of Alabama and then, like, say they don't make it to the league. Now they're just thinking to themselves, like, shit, what do I do now? Clearly, like, you know, football was my identity and now that's taken away from me. It's nice being an optimist, right, and having that be your identity, because it's something that's pretty tough to remove. But what have been some of the benefits with, like, having affirmation of your identity, like, consistently repeated or telling yourself that?
The benefits have been that it is so apparent when other people approach me, family members, friends, they expect me to be in a good mood. And so that reinforces the notion of me being in a good mood. It's a crazy, I didn't intend for this to happen when I first started this version of Danny 2.0, but it just has happened. And that's such a beautiful thing, where the way that I frame myself in the world has led other people to treat me that way, which has then led me to act that way further and further. So
yeah, I love that. I think that's part of the reason too, that like public, again, maybe this is going back to fitness, but like public fitness challenges work, because usually it's the accountability that is like the main driver, right? At the end of the day, everyone really knows how to get in shape. If you want six pack abs, you eat, you know, and there's genetic stuff there, but for the 99% of people, you eat right, you go to the gym 4 times a week, you're good to go. Like 90% of the time that works, right? But the issue is people don't always eat right and people don't always go to the gym. And so having the accountability of a public, you know, challenge or, hey, hit the gym today, whatever it is, always helps. And I think doing that from a mindset standpoint of telling people, hey, I'm super adventurous, I'm an optimist, I am, you know, a hardworking individual, whatever those are, if you tell people that you're that and then you don't live up to that, like, you kind of feel that internal guilt. And so I like the idea of kind of like tagging yourself or branding yourself as a certain type of person, because I think it's going to reinforce a lot of your own thoughts and your own actions after that.
That's why I have Monday, Wednesday, and Friday in the bio. It's because I'm putting out episodes Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You see it in my bio. So I'm going to live up to that standard for myself, because I'm putting that out to the world.
Yeah. Exactly. And speaking of which, the Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I'd love to kind of maybe, Gio, unless you have anything else specifically around the optimist stuff or anything like that, I'd love to kind of start getting into some of your podcasts and the inspiration behind it and what that experience has been like for you.
No, yeah, I feel like we could keep going on this, because I found it a very fascinating topic, because it's again, side note, even Naval has a great quote. He was like, yeah, he's like, one day I just sat down and decided I was going to figure out how to become happy. And then, you know, he goes on a list of the things he did, and it's all similar, right? Everyone has a similar, I think, realization that there's really a couple specific steps that you can really implement. So I could go on, I think, forever there, and I got a lot of ideas there. But yeah, let's pivot a bit.
So podcast?
Yeah. I guess specifically kickstarting things, let's take it back to, I guess if you launched September 16th and you already had 20 episodes by the time you launched, let's probably bring it back to August, I guess. It's almost been a year. You're coming out, yeah. I didn't even realize that. When I saw September 16th, I was like, oh, he's been podcasting for 8 months or so. But now you're basically at a year at this point. So maybe start off the story with when you even decided you were going to go and buy a microphone or you wanted to go and start a podcast.
Yeah, so this is bringing me back. Oh my God. So it's July of 2020. And in the past 3 months, three different friends, not at all related, all said, hey, Danny, you should have a podcast. So that was weird to me. And the first time I was like, no. Second time I was like, everyone's got a podcast. Third time I was like, whoa, okay. Like three different people, three different situations. That's crazy. So that was one thing that was in the back of my head. Another thing was that I put out on Twitter, who wants to talk on the phone? And I started having these crazy conversations with people, learning about them, figuring out that their lives have been changed because of COVID, because this, it was so wild. And so I learned so much from it. And that was like, oh my God, I should press record on some of these because this is just amazing. And then the third thing was I was reading so many books. The books that I was reading during quarantine were more books than I've ever read in my life. And I said to myself, I would love to talk to some of these authors, but none of these authors are going to talk to me because I'm just a random guy, you know? So I was like, okay, all these signs are pointing to me starting this podcast. Let me just do it. And so started recording in August of 2020, had 20 in the backlog by the time it was supposed to launch, officially launched on September 23rd. And there was a moment there on like September, you know, 16th or September 21st when I'd published an episode, a few episodes, but I didn't have them out yet, released to the public. And I said, should I even put out this podcast? Like, does the world even need one more podcast? And am I doing this for the right reasons? And I said, you know what? Like, let me just do it. Let me lean into the fear. And the rest is history.
It's pretty nice too, right? Because again, the worst case scenario, no one listens to it, right? Like there's really no negative. There's time and effort. And you know, one of the things Connor and I realized too is like, hey, even if we don't get to the viewership and the listens that we really wanted to, we'll still walk away with a phenomenal experience because of all the people we've met.
Yeah.
Right. Like even if we weren't recording half these conversations, like building those relationships is you know, that's half of it for us anyway.
And also one thing that you kind of mentioned is if you want to chat with your favorite authors, what sounds better? Like, can I pick your brain or, hey, do you want to come on my podcast? Like it is sneakily one of the like most sincere forms of flattery that you can probably give someone is being like, hey, listen, like, would you want like, you think I'm good enough to go on the podcast? Like, I don't even know if you have any listeners. Like, of course I will though. You know, like it's definitely a really nice, nice gesture.
And to swing back, what those first 10, 20 episodes, were those random people on Twitter? Did you have any specific, you know, guidance or ideas on the types of people? Were you trying everything? Did you have a plan?
Yeah, so I had built up a bit of an audience from talking about e-commerce and dropshipping. I had probably 6,000 or 7,000 followers around that. And I'd built up friends and connections, people who also had big followings as well. And so I just reached out to a bunch of those people and said, hey, you want to come on this podcast? I'm just launching it. Would love to talk to you. And yeah, I mean, not everyone had an audience, but it certainly helped to start building that process. And yeah, it was such an organic thing. And that's why it was enjoyable, because I wasn't doing it to be Joe Rogan. I was doing it because I enjoyed having conversations with people. And I think that really has come across for the past year, because when the going got tough for a lot of different other things in my life, it was because I was trying to be someone, not because I enjoyed the process of doing it itself. And I think that was a really important takeaway for me and something that I'm grateful I figured out about myself.
And those initial people, I'm curious how you felt that, like, how did it feel kind of doing those first episodes? Did you feel really awkward in the beginning? Did you overcome that? Did you figure out a better strategy going in, or was it just kind of getting the reps in? You got better every single time. I guess how did you reflect on the podcast, right? Because the whole reflection concept. What did that look like, I guess, in terms of the podcast and your recordings?
Yeah, I wanted the earliest episodes to be not great. And I came in with that intention of I'm going to try my best, but I also understand I'm not going to be the best I'm ever going to be in this moment or 150 episodes from now or 150 more episodes from that point. And so understanding that I wanted to serve as inspiration for a kid who is 18 years old in 2031 and he's looking at my podcast in 2031 and being like, wow, how did he build this? This is crazy. And then looking to the episodes in 2020 and saying, oh my God, he was not that good in 2020. And so that is what I wanted that person to see, that if you keep going with something that's real to you, you can do crazy things and make crazy advances. And so I wasn't attempting to be the best. And like it, I look at the first episode that I recorded, I'm like, wow, I would phrase things so much differently now. And I'm sure I will say the same thing about episodes I'm recording today. But that's a sign of growth and that's a sign of getting better. And I'm happy that my first episode isn't the best I'll ever do, because the journey is the whole point of doing this, growing and changing. And so I'm happy with how it turned out, and I'm happy that it's not that good.
I'm going to bring it back to the podcast in just a second, but you brought up a way of thinking that you've talked about a lot online that I want to kind of dive into deeper. You're a very big proponent of long-term thinking, like decade-plus thinking. At least you talk about it a lot, which I got to imagine resonates a lot with you. How has having the perspective of either, whether it's in your podcast and there's going to be an 18-year-old listening to it in 2031, or business or life in general, thinking long term, how has that kind of like helped you on an everyday basis?
It's really important, because when I used to get wrapped up in the short term when I was Danny 1.0, what's going to change in this week or month, or I'm going to the gym now and I'm looking at my body and I don't see any difference today or tomorrow. But it's once I really understood the power of the journey and the power of doing something for a longer period of time, and understanding that the journey itself is the actual reward, that once you complete it, you're going to wish you were back on the journey to begin with. Once I realized that, I was like, let me make this journey as long as possible. Let me extend this, because right now is the part where after it's all over, I'm going to wish I was back in this moment where I didn't know how it would turn out, where the world was so big and I had all these visions for where I could see myself going. And that is, I think, something that people might not understand, and I really want to get across, and I'm happy you asked about it.
Yeah, very well said. I think many people can go and point to a lot of things previously in their life, thinking of times, not even necessarily vacation, but like maybe it was like at a certain job or like in a tough class or something like that, and you look back and you actually have pretty good memories of it, when in reality at the time you're like, God, this is brutal, this is tough. And so I think taking that perspective is really cool.
Yeah, I remember being a senior in college in my fraternity and saying to the kids who are freshmen, like, wow, like I'm so envious of you guys. You have such a journey ahead and you don't realize what's about to go down. And man, I would trade places with you guys in a second. But then I realized after I graduated and a few years after I graduated that I could literally just start a new journey today. And I could be that freshman again that I was so envious of in whatever facet of life that I wanted to be. So right now, I just completed a year of podcasting. I still consider myself a freshman because I'm so far that I want to go and take this. And so, yeah, my idea of long-term thinking is really just to make myself a freshman again, because I'm envious of that freshman who has starry eyes and is so excited about the future and doesn't know exactly how that is going to unfold.
I'm glad that you mentioned that you're in a fraternity, because I was going to make this one quote that that I thought kind of like resonated with what you said, where they always say in fraternities, like, pledging is like the most fun that you never want to have again. And like, it's the perfect example of being like, at the time, this sucks. But in hindsight, like, it was actually really fun. Like, you made a ton of really great friends, and you were like in this mindset of like, I want to meet as many people as possible and party and go out, whatever like that. But so I'm glad that you brought that up, because I didn't think you would get that reference otherwise.
Yeah, you were talking before. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Okay, cool.
And I do think, like, it's an important point to emphasize, too, the fact that I think personally I get most excited when I'm doing things that either, A, I don't know how to do, or I'm learning something new, or, you know, it's somewhat challenging. And I think that is because I've found to, I think, really enjoy that journey of the learning process there. But it, you know, it doesn't have to end, right? Like, even if you're not, you know, you finish school, and I think oftentimes people, you know, maybe you stop learning, right? You go to your job, you keep kind of doing the same thing. There's no reason why you can't start a podcast, right? You start content, start something you're not good at, because at least personally, and I think probably for most of us, at least on this podcast, I think we get a lot of enjoyment out of, you know, starting something, as you said, as a freshman, having no idea what it is, and then transitioning over and getting better at it every day and trying new things.
I think previously I was the type of person who was shying away from being the beginner, but now the big difference is that I'm trying to be the beginner in as many areas as I can and attack those with as much optimism as possible.
I've got a super meta question for you, since we are on a podcast and even just the question itself is meta. What are some of your favorite questions? Because at this point, you know, you have an interview-based show with over 160 people now at this point, right? So, like, you've asked a lot of questions. And when we first started this podcast, we asked a lot of bad questions. We are still way earlier than where you were at in terms of number of episodes. And I think we're getting a little bit better. But I would love to know if you have some favorite questions that you like to dive into with guests.
Yeah, one of my favorite ones is about what advice you would give to yourself in a previous situation. So let's say you could use me as an example, where you guys kind of asked this question, but it's like, if I'm talking about, oh, Danny 1.0 versus Danny 2.0, well, what advice would Danny 2.0 have for Danny 1.0 in this moment? Always gets people to stop for a second and think, oh, well, that's interesting. Another is just like, it's like a common question that I ask is like, what advice do you have for someone pursuing the highest version of yourself? That's one always that sparks people in an interesting way and gets people to go down an interesting rabbit hole. Yeah, those are two that just popped to mind.
You mentioned you were reading a lot of books, right? Kind of during COVID. I guess it's probably a two-point question. Did those mostly just help in terms of your self-reflection and, you know, getting up to that higher level? And then B, did any of that translate into potentially podcasting and creating content and asking questions and trying to develop a deeper relationship with the people you're speaking with? And then what are those books?
Yeah. So the big one that pops out is Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends on It and A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. I read both of these books, you know, probably like 3 or 4 times each, and have gifted them a tremendous amount of times. Also, Awaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins really lighted within me a curiosity to figure out what I was really capable of. And I knew in my heart that I had something just within me to create something magical, but that book really lit it and made it a reality. And then the coolest thing is like being able to talk to the writer of Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends on It for one of my podcasts and interviewing him and asking him these questions and having a great conversation with him. And it's just so meta and weird to think about, you're reading a book and this book changes your life directly. 6 months later, you're having a conversation with the author of that book. It blew my mind and something I'm really grateful to experience.
Well, and you could argue you your mind changed, right? Because you read the book, and that's the only reason you even got, you even were in a position where you felt so content with everything to start a podcast to then invite the author on. Yeah, that's a wonderful circle.
It's wild. It's wild. And that's happened a bunch, and that happened with Gary Vaynerchuk, who I'm a big fan of, have been for years, and it's like to talk to him for 30 minutes is like the same thing as I'm sure a kid watching LeBron James is looking at LeBron James and having a conversation with him or playing pickup basketball with him. That would be the equivalent of me interviewing Gary Vaynerchuk. It's like, that is crazy. And why? Just because I started to put myself out there on the internet and ask some questions to people because I followed my curiosity and my pure joy of who I was. Like, that is priceless. And for the circle of those stories, I'm forever grateful. And to know that the circles are really just beginning, because the flywheel of this podcast is only starting this year. And who knows, 10 years from now, we might be sitting together at the Madison Square Garden stage and talking about our first conversation. And they might be playing this conversation on that stage right now. How wild is that? So the circles are really just beginning. And that's the exciting thing about being a freshman.
There's always something new. I'm excited now for Madison Square Garden in a few years. While we're on the topic of these guys, I definitely want to dive into that story. But before that, who clearly Gary Vaynerchuk inspires you? Who are some of those other people that you really look up to and kind of generally inspire you and you read about, et cetera?
Yeah, so when I looked at this list and I compiled the list of people, I realized that everyone who really inspires me is either in their 30s, 40s, or 50s, which was exciting and also like, oh my God, I have a long way to go to be the person I want to be. But a few of them are like Jocko Willink, David Goggins, Eckhart Tolle, Gary Vaynerchuk, people like that. People who are pursuing their highest version. People who are pushing the boundaries of discipline and love to be all they can be. Those are the people who inspire me. And it really doesn't have to be any of those people. But I look to people like Kobe Bryant. I look to people like Michael Jordan to really push the boundaries of what is possible to pursue more. So
that's awesome, because I definitely remember like when I was reading some of your tweets and kind of prepping for this call a little bit too, like I feel like I get a lot of like a Gary Vaynerchuk and like Tim Ferriss vibe almost like coming from some of the stuff that you're putting out there, and I love it because I think like I also look at those guys and I'm like, yep, that's where I want to be when I'm 40 or however old they are, because they're crushing it all around. Not to take a pun from Gary Vaynerchuk's book, but in terms of like one thing that I always do is this concept of basically like I don't really know what I want to be, like what I don't know what my highest version of myself looks like for reference, but I know other people who are clearly at the, like maybe they're not at their peak, but they are crushing it and they are definitely at some kind of highest version of like humanity. And I look at them and I'm like, okay, I want to be like them, right? I think you can say like Gary Vaynerchuk is like that, Tim Ferriss, Joe Rogan, or whoever you want to point to, all tend to kind of have these certain traits. And then when you are able to go and find the people you want to be like, what I tended to go and do is then distill it down into like, okay, why do I like this person? I like this person because they're super athletic. I like this person because, you know, like Kobe, for example, right? He's like one of my favorite Kobe Bryant quotes is something along the lines of like, I have nothing in common with lazy people, right? And I'm like, fuck, like that's like, you get goosebumps from that. And then like, you know, same thing with like anyone else. Like you say like, hey, you make a lot of content, you know, you run big businesses, and like you start to distill these traits down. And once you write down all the traits on paper, you can start to think to yourself, okay, this is what I admire. This is what my highest version of myself should be. Do you kind of go through a similar process?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, I did this and I have a few traits that might give you a sense for who I'm trying to become. Disciplined, compassionate, clear thinker, thought-provoking, calm, aware, mentally tough, strong, open-minded, kind, and love. So if you combine all those people I said, extract all their greatest traits, that's the type of person I'm trying to be.
What do you think is the most difficult one? Either personally and then for other people.
So personally, the one that I really struggle to embody in every single moment is being just full of love in every moment. There's so many, it's like something I struggle with a lot is like, I'm walking past a homeless guy in New York City and I'm not acknowledging his presence because I've somewhere to be. Am I really operating with love in that moment? And the answer is probably not. And so I think love is one, is like an ultimate, and the more moments I'm acting with love, the better my life is in general. But it's definitely probably the most difficult one, and also the easiest one once I really tap into who I am. If I spend an hour meditating every morning, an hour meditating every night, it's a lot easier for me to be full of love and full of kindness and full of just open heartedness. But yeah, it's one I struggle with.
Do you think that is a... Do you think it's possible, right? Do you think it's possible to operate at that fulfilled level at some point? I'm curious on, or is it kind of just always, there's always kind of that consistent room for improvement? And then B, is it, I'm assuming you think it's necessary, but what are your thoughts in terms of, like, you know, should everyone try to be operating at that, you know, full of love and everything that they're doing?
Yeah. So operating out of love is something, going back to the levels of consciousness. So to give you guys levels of consciousness, this conversation is really going full circle, because David Hawkins, I believe his name is, came up with this every emotion, and it goes like this, right? Shame, guilt, apathy, grief, fear, desire, anger, pride, courage, neutrality, willingness, acceptance, reason, love, joy, peace, and enlightenment. And so he's got these lists of consciousness. And he's like, most people are operating somewhere around courage, and he has numbers to go with them as well. And I don't think that every person is going to make it to be operating with love at all times. And I don't know if I'm one of those people. But I know that the higher up you go on that scale, the better you feel, the better the world operates for you. And I don't know if it's necessary, but I know that when I operate with more love or more joy, better things tend to happen and the universe conspires more in my favor.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I also think, going back 2 questions ago when I asked, you know, what are those traits that you try to embody from some of the people that you look up to, I was going to make a quick comment to saying, I think I definitely need to go and overhaul mine after hearing yours. Because after hearing yours, you're like, you know, you've got like love, compassion, courage, discipline, like all this kind of stuff. And I'm looking at mine, I'm like, all right, business owner, adventure, traveler, content creator, and fitness. I'm like, okay, this is like, I gotta overhaul this a little bit more, because I think I'm trying to be a little bit too black and white on mine.
So I think a really important point is to look not just to the external things that you see, for example, owning a gym or owning a business, that's external focus, but also look at the internal traits that force those things to occur. And I think that's a huge shift. And it was, at least for me personally.
It's a huge shift. I think it's much tougher, because I think, like, from my standpoint, I'm like, hey, I love to travel, right? So I could easily quantify that by number of trips taken per year, per month, whatever it wants to be. But if it's like, if I change that to, you know, have a sense of adventure, then it's like, well, fuck, like, what do I, like, how do I quantify this, right? But to your point,
how do I embody that in every moment, right? Because then it's like,
right.
And, you know, a lot of people talk about travel, but it's like, living in New York City, I realized I could travel in every moment here, because I could literally talk to somebody new and travel to and use the experiences they've been in as my travel. And every person has traveled so far on this globe, but we so often don't have the curiosity to ask about it or wonder about it. So that's something about travel that I've been thinking about recently, is like, it's available to us. We don't even have to go anywhere a lot of times. Mm.
Yeah, very well said. One question I wanted to ask, just on maybe kind of wrapping up the podcast part of this, specifically with our podcast is all about finding people who are doing interesting things in their 20s, right? And so over the past 30 something episodes, like, the clear cut ones are like, one, for some reason, a lot of people just drop out of college or didn't go to school at all, right? Like, I would say over 50% of our guests did not go to school or dropped out. Second one, ridiculously supportive parents. And there's a handful of other ones too, like Bias for Action, I think you can point to. Now, you have interviewed 5 times our sample size, and of successful perform or high performers, across all age groups and all industries, really. Are there specific trends that you've noticed that they frequently follow or do that you think that you can maybe share with some people?
Yeah, so obviously it's biased because the podcast is named after myself and I am selecting for the traits that I mentioned before. So it's a very biased sample, but what I've noticed is that people who I've brought on are operating with love for their profession, and their work and play is very, it's linked. And you wouldn't know the difference if they're working or they're playing in any given moment. They're also, a large majority of these people look inward on a consistent basis. For them, for some people, it might mean meditation. For others, it might be journaling. For others, it might just be taking a walk. But they're always reflecting on themselves and reflecting on their purpose and reflecting and spending a lot of time with themselves as opposed to time with others. So those are a couple of things that stand out, but obviously very biased. So I don't know if that's true across the board or just something that has come to me because I am.
No, I think it's fair though, because I think at the end of the day, if you look through all of your podcast stuff, it's not necessarily just the e-commerce guys. Like, you've had athletes on there, you've had like people who are huge content creators and all that kind of stuff. They're people who want to excel no matter what they're doing. So I think really what I'm asking about is like high performers and stuff. And I like the point a lot about people who you can't really differentiate when they're working or they're not. And I think like that's not to be confused with investment bankers who just work, right? I think what's really cool is you get to see certain people who just genuinely love what they do. And if you weren't paying, like for you, for example, right? Like podcasts, like occupation, like you're making a career out of it. But at the same time too, like you love talking to people and like it's something that you just really enjoy doing. So I think that's a really cool point to bring up, because I think a lot of people are going to start moving towards that general premise where they love what they do.
Yeah, how crazy is it that I used to get kicked out of class for speaking too much, and now it's my job to speak to people? Wow.
Right? Yeah. And I saw some tweet today where it was like, in school, all they do is teach you to do is like fit in, when in reality, like once you're out of school, like you're only going to make it if you don't fit in, pretty much. Which,
whoa. That blew my mind.
Yeah. yeah, man. So either way, would you recommend everyone starts a podcast, or do you think it's something that you were super into? Or, yeah, let's go with that question.
I think it certainly can be beneficial for everyone. I've gotten better as a speaker. I've gotten better at knowing myself. I've learned more about the world around me. However, I would also say that don't tie yourself to anything crazy. Say to yourself, I'm going to record 10 episodes, and really give it your best effort for 10 episodes. Even if you never even publish them, you'll gain something from just recording. But I think everyone should try to record 10 episodes or 10 conversations with people in their lives, their friends, family, loved ones. I think everyone can benefit from that. And yeah, I'm grateful that I have podcasting, but I don't think it's for everyone necessarily. And give yourself an out if you don't enjoy the process of it, because it won't be for everyone.
That's amazing. Also, do you listen to some of your old podcast episodes? Like, I know you said you want to notice you do. So one thing I just started doing is listening to some of the more recent ones, and I just caught myself saying it again, is my default response for guests tends to be like, that's amazing. So I'm trying, like, as soon as I said that, I was like, fuck, like I gotta cut that out.
Either Tim way, Ferriss used to do that. He took out it? All of, he went through all of his episodes and all the filler words that he would say, he noted them. And he, obviously Tim Ferriss would do something like that. He's a very neurotic type of guy, but yeah, it's helpful.
I might need to take a playbook from him, because as much as I hate listening to my own episodes, I think it might be necessary for the quality. I got two more questions left on my side. One is, you just tweeted out that you're really excited about the next chapter in your life. Are you referring to anything specific, or do you want to kind of keep that hush-hush for now?
Hush-hush for now. I wish I could hush, know hush when this is going out, but I unfortunately can't. My lips are sealed.
That's fair enough. All right. So in that case, then I'll end it with one big question. I'd like to tell a lot of our guests this, where, and you definitely can understand this because you've done way more podcasts, which is, I like to think of podcasts as like kind of a time capsule, right? Where like you're able to go and look back 10, 20, 30 years from now, and you're like, wow, this is me when I was 26, and this is what I was hoping to do in the world. And so part of the benefit of interviewing a ton of, you know, interesting and successful people in their 20s is you get to get a glimpse into what they want to do in their 30s, 40s, and 50s and beyond. So I'd love to know if you have any kind of big goals that you have set for just yourself and life that you would like to maybe listen back to on this podcast episode at 40 or 50 and be like, damn, I hit that, or wow, I don't care about these goals at all anymore.
I want to sell out Madison Square Garden for a live podcast. 19,763 people. I mentioned that's it before. Cool. I teased it. That would be on the list. And the reason why is because I get such energy from hearing people comment about the podcast and how it affects them. And the messages I get, I post them on my wall. And it's really crazy, like the way it has deeply impacted people. And I said to myself, how cool would it be if we could get 20,000 people into one single stadium and feel that energy for one episode? I mean, maybe do a tour of the country, but like, that's how I'm thinking. I'm thinking myself as an artist and as a performer as much as a podcaster. And I think we're just at the tip of the iceberg for what a podcaster really is. So that's my vision. Hopefully looking back at 40, it's not too crazy of a vision. Might seem that way today, but that's in the plans.
That's badass. I love that. I need to up my goals, I think, after hearing that. Either way, Danny, this was a fantastic episode. I have a little bit more that I wanted to dive into, but honestly, for the sake of the episode, I think maybe we'll end it here. If people want to go and listen to the podcast, follow you, honestly, after this episode, I'm like ready to run through a brick wall. I'm pretty fired up right now. So I want more people to have this energy around them all the time. Where can people go and check you out?
I appreciate that. Danny Miranda Podcast, available YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen. And the best place to reach me is on Twitter, currently at Hey Danny Miranda. Would look forward to hearing from anyone who listened this far in the episode. I really appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. It really means the world to me, and I'm extremely grateful for you guys for bringing the energy and questions to this episode. So thank you.